Well, our scripture lesson for today continues from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. As you may well know, Paul was in jail by this time, being tortured by the Romans, and he was making sure that the people of the church at Ephesus were doing well. And I will continue then from our readings from last week. It's in your Pew Bible in the New Testament on page 182, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, on the bottom left side of your page. And I apologize, I don't have the reference for the large print Bible. So hear these words of Paul, and therefore these words from our Lord to us. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, if you've had any mileage in the Bible, you know that Paul could certainly pack a lot of theology and good practical advice into one letter. This letter to the church at Ephesus is surely no exception, and we only read 8 verses of that letter this morning. And even in those 8 verses, there certainly is a lot of thought-provoking material. But one idea really caught my attention this week. When Paul talks about the fullness of God, the fullness of God is nearly incomprehensible in all its breadth and length and height and depth. The fullness of God. This reminded me of several experiences I had as a much younger man. So let me tell you a story. From as long ago as I can remember, from when I was a little guy, I was brought up in the Roman Catholic Church. My mom was a lifelong Catholic. She was born and raised in Germany, and so she raised us 3 kids, my 2 sisters and I, in the Christian faith as prescribed by the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, I was baptized at St. Agnes Church in Columbus, Ohio. Despite, and in part because of, being a United Methodist now, I still have a lot of respect and admiration for much of the Roman Catholic tradition. My understanding of God and of God's fullness was crafted by my childhood experiences, as I guess your understanding of God was likewise molded by your experiences with organized religion. When I was confirmed into the Catholic Church when I was a teenager, I was well versed in the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And at that time, when I was a teenager, I probably understood God as some grandfatherly figure, a God who took care of and watched over all the people on earth. I visualized Jesus Christ as that suffering figure on the cross, since I looked up at the crucifix every Saturday evening as I went to Mass. And I probably saw the Holy Spirit as a dove, because that is how the Spirit was depicted on the stained glass windows at St. Agnes Church. Well, after I graduated from high school, I went forward in my education by studying for a bachelor's degree in biology at Indiana University in southern Indiana. It was during my college years that I first read the entire Bible cover to cover. That was the first time I had read the Bible. God's fullness was for me being enlarged. My understanding of God was severely tested during my freshman year by someone I trusted and respected, my college roommate in the dorm, a guy by the name of Rick. Rick was a devout Christian, but he was convinced that I was going to hell simply because I was a Roman Catholic. There was no doubt in his mind. That really shook me, and it caused me to question my faith. During my junior year at Indiana University, as my future loomed in front of me, I was confused about what I really wanted to do with the rest of my life. And besides, I didn't yet have any plans for the coming summer. So I applied to be a summer intern with a program that placed college kids into positions in national parks. This program is called the Student Conservation Association, or SCA, and it's still going strong today. But since I had spent parts of many summers in national parks as I was growing up, this sounded like a dream come true, to live and work in a national park for an entire summer. Well, the application for this program allowed the student to apply to three park areas. So on a whim, I applied for Olympic National Park in Washington, for Grand Canyon National Park in Arizona, and for Cape Cod National Seashore in Massachusetts. Weeks and then months went by, and I figured that I hadn't made the cut because I didn't hear anything. My dream of working in a national park quickly fizzled out. But then, out of the blue, one afternoon when I was trying to study biochemistry in my apartment, I got a phone call from a National Park Service manager. He was offering me a summer position as a student conservation aide. Needless to say, I was very excited. My hand shook as I tried to hold the receiver to my ear. He went on and on describing how I would be working in a visitor center, talking to people from all over the world. He described that I would wear a uniform and that I would lead people on walks through the woods. And if I was interested, I could even present slideshows to folks in an outdoor amphitheater. As he spoke, I got more and more excited. He finished his description of the job, and then he said, "Do you have any questions?" He hadn't told me where he was calling from, so I said, "Well, sir, tell me where you're calling from." "Why, I'm calling from the south rim of the Grand Canyon National Park." I couldn't believe my ears. He continued, "So, Will, I'll bet you need a few days before you give me your answer." "No!" "What?" he said. "You don't want this position?" "No, no, I don't need time to consider your offer. Of course I will come to work at the Grand Canyon." Well, my hands were probably shaking for 20 minutes after I put down that phone. I was going to be working at the Grand Canyon that summer, explaining the geology and the natural history of the colossal gorge to visitors from all over the world. I couldn't believe it. Over the next several weeks leading up to my starting date, I literally read and studied everything I could find about the Grand Canyon. I had never seen it, so I had to rely on pictures and descriptions of those who had been there in person. I read about the geology. I studied the birds, the plants, the animals of the park. I read John Wesley Powell's fabulous book about the first white man's journey through the Grand Canyon on the Colorado River. I talked to everyone I knew who had been there, and it was in this way, through books and pictures and personal descriptions, that I formed my impressions and my understanding of the canyon. I still remember vividly the very first time that I saw the Grand Canyon. I had flown into Phoenix from Columbus, Ohio, and then I got a small plane into Grand Canyon Airport. That's sort of a euphemism. That's a little strip in the woods. But a Park Service ranger had met me at the airport, and she shuttled me into the park. She was gracious enough to stop at the first overlook as we drove up to the edge of the canyon. Again, my hands were shaking as we stepped out of the car and walked out to the overlook on the rim of that incredible gorge. I was breathing heavily because I just came from just above sea level to the 7,000-foot elevation of the South Rim, and as I looked out, I simply could not believe my eyes. Nothing I had read or heard or seen in books or photographs could have prepared me for that moment. It was so big. Bigger than anything I had ever seen in my life, and it seemed to go on forever, that Grand Canyon. As far as the eye can see and farther than the imagination can comprehend. I really hope that you have also had this same incredible experience at some time in your life, to stand on the rim of Grand Canyon and gaze deep into that wonder of creation. Do you remember what that was like for you? Standing on the edge of that abyss brings to mind the words from Ephesians 1:18. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Well, it's probably fairly obvious as you hear me go on that this was an amazing summer for me, a pivotal life experience that was to change my future and focus me in ways that I could never have imagined. I would continue to work for the National Park Service for the next 22 years after that fateful summer. After I had gotten there, after I had settled in, I went to Mass at the tiny little Catholic church on the South Rim. This Mass was celebrated by Father Campers. That really was his name in the Grand Canyon, Father Campers. The Mass was exactly the same as it had always been. The same prayers, the same scripture lessons, the same responses, the same communion, the same peaceful feeling I always got when I attended Mass. It was the same Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet, it wasn't the same at all. What was different was my understanding of the fullness of God. That summer, it became perfectly clear to me that I was a child of God, that I believed in Jesus Christ, and that all that other stuff was secondary. Just like my understanding of the Grand Canyon, my understanding of God's grace had been immeasurably increased. And I now saw the world through brand new eyes. I knew the Grand Canyon through firsthand experience. And after that summer, I knew God's grace through that same firsthand experience. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I don't think this was a unique experience for me. I would bet that all of us have had our understanding of God molded and crafted through the myriad experiences that have made up our lives. And I would bet that each of us is comfortable with the God of our understanding. But I have a question for you. I want you to consider this. Do you believe to the bottom of your heart that your understanding of God encompasses the breadth and length and height and depth of God's grace? Does it encompass all that fullness? Do you believe that you know, truly know, the fullness of God's love? Why then are we as a people so eager to criticize those who don't believe the same things that we believe? Why do we take fault with those who follow a different tradition that we follow? Those who don't pray in the same way that we pray? Does God love the Baptists and the Presbyterians and the Lutherans and the United Methodists and the Roman Catholics? Does God love those of the Jewish faith and Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists? Does God love atheists and agnostics? Does God love those who have never even heard the good news of Jesus Christ? Does God love the people of Israel and the people of Hezbollah and the people of Iraq and the people of North Korea? Does God love whites and blacks and all people of color? Does God love people of every culture on this planet? Does God love gays and straights, Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives, Westerners and Easterners, old and young, women and men? Does God love you? I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you know the fullness of God's grace? Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ever ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. God is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can even ask or imagine. God made the Grand Canyon. Can you imagine that? God made the entire planet and the entire solar system and the entire cosmos. Can you imagine that? God made every person who ever lived in all human history, and God made you. Can you imagine that? God made you, and God loves you. And maybe, just maybe, we should live every day in a way that witnesses to God's amazing grace. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and height and length and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. May this be so. Amen.